I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo! All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, your weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is a different place on Conservative Talk Radio, a safe space for you independent thinkers out there, a little island of ideology, actually consistency on just about all issues, beholden to no party, no politician. We do it a little different here for a couple of hours. Today's Friday. Speaking of different, next hour at 10 o'clock, we'll have our first half hour. The next hour is False Flag Friday. We kind of look at foreign policy issues. There's actually a lot going on. You wouldn't know it from looking at the endless headlines of COVID and what we've seen protest-wise here domestically, but there's a lot going on around the world, and I want to make sure that we stay updated on some of those things. And some of it, some pretty big admissions of some things that actually drive the term False Flag Friday. There's one that's been just absolutely exposed that we will talk about next hour. And then we finish up every Friday show with a look back at the lunacy of the last week. And there is no shortage of that. The world is difficult to navigate right now. It's difficult to narrate right now because it's become so bizarre, so strange. Facts don't matter. Challenging any belief is attacked. There is, even with any levels of free speech, you don't necessarily go into a cage these days if you speak your mind, but you are beset on by the cancel culture, the woke mob, or the tech giants, the medical mafia, which is what we'll talk about in just a second. I mean, I got to tell you. I spend a lot of time here on this show talking about health-related topics, and I love doctors. I love good doctors, but boy, they're punished. They're just punished, and I'll show you that in just a second. It was sad to hear yesterday of the passing of Herman Cain. Herman Cain, one of those guys, yeah, I would tell you right now, I didn't agree with him on a whole lot of stuff, and I know it was a bit of a shock to the system. Herman Cain had this, was in syndication before I came to WYAB, and so his show ran between 9 and 11. Herman Cain is a very rock-rib, solid Republican, very establishment Republican. And then suddenly the Mike Madison Show shows up on the scene talking about ending the drug war and ending the wars and talking about the Federal Reserve. And I know there were a lot of people that were probably Herman Cain fans that were a little shocked to hear this guy, this bizarre libertarian-leaning guy, take over that 9 to 11 spot. But Herman Cain, it seems reported that he was certainly a nice guy, accomplished in his life, and he made a run for it, you know, ran for president, and came up with some of his own plans. So sad thing to see that he succumbed to it. He apparently had gone through a pretty big battle with cancer years before, and I would imagine, I mean, just from my research on health stuff, you know, if you go through a lot of chemotherapy, it does do some damage to your immune system, leaves you more susceptible to things like COVID. So instead of really looking at that and saying, look, you know, he was one of kind of the vulnerable people, and this may be why he ran into the issues. Of course, the media spins it. He went to a Trump rally, and 2 weeks later, he's dead. See how dangerous the disease is? See how dangerous the Tulsa rally was? I mean, it's really sick, sick, sick stuff, but really that's what comes out of politics. Stock market, I guess I'll probably look at it in a little bit right before I came on the air. It's amazing to me. The stock market was down a couple hundred points, less than it's probably ended up about half a percent or maybe 0.75% down on the day of the worst GDP report in the history of the United States. GDP sunk by 32.9% or something in that area. And the market was down less than 1%. This is how phony the stock market is. And a lot of times, you know, we knew we were going to get a bad GDP report, right? We knew that there were that we're in a recession right now and that the shutdowns have had catastrophic effects on the economy. So usually when those things happen, the market sells off for a period of time because everybody's expecting a bad GDP. In this bizarro world we're living in, the stock market has been going up, 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 up. And then when the news comes out, yeah, we lost about a third of our economy in the second quarter. It barely, barely sells off. And today, as a matter of fact, the NASDAQ, the big tech guys, this is just fascinating. Think about this. A day after they testify in these antitrust hearings that I know a lot of conservatives had some hope that maybe the Republicans were going to bust them apart, you know, break up big tech. They're too powerful. A day after that testimony and the same day that they released horrible GDP reports, I believe the NASDAQ, the tech index, finished up for the day. Up. And later on yesterday, some of the tech companies released some of their earnings. I think it was Apple and maybe Facebook. Blockbuster earnings. And so the tech stocks have led the charge back. I mean, there is no way to use common sense to navigate the world right now. It's just, I have to just sit back and observe the absolute insanity. Speaking of that, last night, the NBA started. I don't know if you saw this. Lots of social justice, lots of Black Lives Matter, lots of kneeling, lots of virtual reality fans. I believe this will be one of the most insane, ignored professional sports seasons in all of American sports since the advent of television. Really looked kind of annoying, to be honest with you. Black players in the black in the NBA want to support Black Lives Matter. I understand it. They don't know it's a communist organization. The vast majority of them, they're young kids by and large. We forget that. We forget these athletes who are 6'5", 6'8". They're towering monsters of men. They're huge people. You forget how young they are. Their brains aren't as big as, I mean, they've got the same brain I had when I was in my 20s. It wasn't fully formed yet. But anyway, lots of social justice there. But one thing I did notice, with the NBA start last night, they were not wearing masks on the court, which was odd to me. Lots of masks around the staffs, the training staff, stuff like that, but no mask on the court. And the only reason that strikes me, I mean, everybody would think to themselves, well, of course, Mike, you're not going to wear a mask while you're performing an athletic endeavor. That's ridiculous. Well, is it? Because I've got notice on my gym walls as of a couple of days ago that they are going to require me to wear a mask, or everybody to require everybody who goes to a gym to wear a mask while they work out. I just find this curious. Now, I'm not bumping into anybody. I'm not grabbing into anybody. I'm not huffing and puffing down the floor right in somebody's face. I'm not guarding them within 6 inches and putting hands all over them and jumping up face to face trying to block a shot. I'm just moving from one bench to another, one piece of machine to another. Yet I am required to wear a mask while I work out, but somehow the NBA guys are mask free out there on the court. It almost seems like the mask narrative is not real consistent. I guess it's kind of along the lines of it's not acceptable to go to church and to sing, but it is okay to go out into the streets shoulder to shoulder, packed together, shouting and yelling is somehow okay. This is 2020 in America. When I come back, I want to play a Tucker Carlson clip. I hate to rely on Tucker so much, but he's just one of the only guys on mainstream media. And Fox News is mainstream media. That's another beautiful thing about the Trump administration. Trump is finally pointing out to conservatives that Fox News is just another organization. For so long, I have listened to people who think that Fox News, you know, all the bad networks are ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNBC, CNN, which is true. They're all terrible, but everybody kind of carved out this. But Fox, we get all our news from Fox because Fox is the truth teller. I kind of like the fact that Trump's having a row with Fox News. Not that I want Fox News to be licking Donald Trump's boots constantly, which is what a lot of people want. I don't want that because I'm not beholden to anybody. I just want facts. But it's great that Fox News has finally been lumped in with everybody. But Tucker Carlson at least does some outside of the box stuff. And he had the one of the women from America's Frontline Doctors, you know, this video that went viral, and then it was canceled. And then apparently the doctor herself is now in the process of being canceled, too. I don't think I'll ever cheer so hard for a wrongful termination lawsuit in my life as hopefully the lawsuit that this woman has against the hospital that fired her for daring to go out and say something different as a doctor than what Dr. Anthony Fauci and the medical mafia say. I'll be right back. See you. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com. Since I came on air, I've used the term medical mafia on this show. It's not been not a widely used term, probably on conservative talk radio. We all believe that America has the greatest medical system in the world. I think that's patently untrue. Now, we've got a pharmacy on every corner. Every corner. Why? Because people are so sick. More people are taking pharmaceuticals than ever. There's more chronic conditions, more autoimmune disease, more cancers, all of the bad outcomes. There's more of it. So there's a pharmacy on every corner. There's a quick stop clinic on every corner. There's tons of bright, shiny hospitals. We've got tons of great equipment. I'll tell you the truth. If you're in a car accident, there's never been a better time to be alive because they can put you together, back together with some amazing surgeries. That is what I think is the bright, shining example of true greatness within the American medical system. But as far as maintaining health, I take issue with them every single week. And it's interesting to see now people, there's so many teachable moments coming out of what we're going through right now. Do you see what happens when somebody goes outside the mainstream of what the authorities, air quotes here in the studios, the authorities in medicine say? The CDC, the FDA, the NIH. You see how these governing bodies have just send out dictates? You see what happens when a doctor comes out and says, questions the efficacy of masks or of lockdowns? I don't know how many videos we've seen slapped down. These are doctors speaking to citizens. See, this is how the medical system used to work. You would go seek a doctor out to cure something or to help you, you know, when you had a problem, you went and saw a doctor. Now there's so many people between you and your doctor. The doctor can't feel free to really talk to you about what they want to talk to you about. It needs to be what the HMO guarantees. It has to be, you know, a protocol from the administrators of the hospital. The doctor-patient relationship has been ripped apart, and it's pretty amazing to watch. These doctors put out videos during COVID that are deplatformed. It's essentially just a doctor speaking to another human being, using all of their training and their knowledge and speaking to another human being just on a larger scale. Yet it's tantamount to somebody coming into a doctor's office and putting their hand over their mouth if they talk to their patients. I mean, it's just that we see it now in public. So there's a story about a Dr. Stanislaw Brzezinski. This is one of the first times I really realized the medical mafia. The medical mafia is what's behind calling anybody who questions the safety of every single vaccine. They call you an anti-vaxxer. They say you're anti-science. And most people, both sides of the aisle, left and right, have accepted that. Oh, you people who question the safety of vaccines, you're crazy kooks. You're anti-science. You're anti-vaccine. And it's been very, very effective on both Republicans and Democrats, liberals and conservatives. They've bought into this nonsense. There's a good, I'll have to look it up, the documentary about Dr. Stanislaw Brzezinski. He was treating people for cancer very successfully, but not according to pharmaceutical and established medical guidelines on treatments of cancer. He had a new approach. This is what science does, right? Science does new things to figure things out, particularly when you're in a losing battle like we have been with cancer. Oh, sure, survival rate's up in some cancers. In some cancers, it's almost a death sentence to get it, but cancer rates are still exploding. So this guy tried something different, and he was having great success. And I can't remember, I believe it was the Texas medical system. I believe he was a Texas doctor. Again, he's having great success. No complaints from his patients. He's helping people extend their lives, and in some cases, I think people were cured of their cancers under his protocol. But the protocol wasn't standard radiation, chemo, drugs. And I believe the Texas Medical Board took him to court, tried to strip him of his license something like 5 or 6 times, maybe even more than that. They just wouldn't leave him alone. And his patients, you'll see, if you see any of the footage, again, his last name is Burzynski. I think he might be Polish or Czechoslovakian. Anyway, you would see his patients go to these medical board hearings where they're like, would you please just leave him alone? He's helped me. He's helped my family. He's helped my loved ones. He's helped my wife. He's helped me, whatever. They say, leave him alone. He's doing great work. If the patients aren't complaining, but the medical mafia went after him, and he would be exonerated, and they would file new charges, and he would be exonerated, and they would file new charges, and he would be exonerated, and they would file new charges. They wore him out because he was doing something different than the medical mafia had deemed useful. A long, long, long buildup, but this is Tucker's interview with the woman who came out with the America's Frontline Doctors video that went out as they questioned, said there may be some good uses for hydroxychloroquine. But as this woman says, they talked about so much more than that. But apparently she has now lost her job within a couple of days of standing up for alternatives to Dr. Fauci's narration of how we treat COVID-19.
Reported the other night, censored a video of physicians expressing their views about treatment for the coronavirus. Some of those views were optimistic. That would hurt the Joe Biden for President campaign. And so they pulled it off the internet and banned anyone from sharing it. That's a state of free speech in America. We're allowed to share it here because we don't work for Google or Facebook. So here's a clip.
This is a treatment regimen that's very simple, and it should be in the hands of the American people. The difficult aspect of this is that at the moment, because of politics, it's being blocked from doctors prescribing it, and it's being blocked from pharmacists releasing it. They've been empowered to overrule the doctor's opinion. I'm in favor of it being over the counter. Give it to the people. Give it to the people.
Dr. Simone Gold was in that video, the banned one. She was censored, but more than that, she was fired from her job, apparently, for appearing in that video. We're going to get the story directly from her because she joins us now. Dr.
I want you to listen to this woman. Listen to how calm and rational and normal she sounds. There's no place for her anymore in the debate. She sounds like a very normal. She's got 20 years in emergency room medicine. 20 years. And listen to her. She is so rational and so calm. She's not hysterical, even though she just lost her job. She's not hysterical. And you juxtapose that to some of the nut jobs we've got running things with all their hyperbole and their freaking out and their weirdness. It's just striking to me how this is the kind of woman we need in the medical system, not some of the people that are going out there running around like chickens with their heads cut off.
Thanks so much for coming on. Can it be true that you lost your job for expressing your medical opinions on camera?
Yes, thank you so much. I'm a board-certified emergency physician for 20 years. In fact, until seems like 5 minutes ago, I was considered a hero, and people would be clapping and glad that I was doing what I was doing. And then the video came out, and I was summarily fired for appearing in what was told to me is an embarrassing video. So that's what happened.
Leaving aside the legal question of whether an employer is just allowed to fire someone for appearing in a video that might hurt the Biden campaign, I'm interested in...
Now, that drives me a little crazy. That I got to tell you, Tucker, that drives me a little crazy. There's so much more at play here than just the Biden campaign. Sure, Democrats want this thing to be bad. They want it to hurt Trump. They don't want the economy to recover so that they can win in November. I get all that. But it's so much more than that. You mean to tell me that it's not pharmaceutical companies who are going to these networks and saying, hey, and to the big tech companies. You don't think the pharmaceutical networks... I mean, the pharmaceutical companies are not going and putting pressure on these things because they've got treatments that cost thousands and thousands of dollars. Remdesivir, by the way. It's the most commonly named one. It's $13,000 for, of course, I think it's 5 doses of remdesivir versus, what, maybe $20 for the hydroxychloroquine? So there's more to it than just the Biden campaign, and I don't like that kind of simplistic stuff. I felt the need, obviously, to interrupt the video and call it out, because it is not a single, there's not just one single faction that's pushing this COVID stuff. There are several people who are taking advantage of this, using it to their own gains. The banks, the financial markets, the Federal Reserve, the mega corporations, the globalists, the Amazons of the world, the pharmaceutical companies. There's a ton of nasty players that do not want to see COVID resolve itself anytime soon.
And what their justification was, you're a doctor treating patients in an emergency room. What does a video have to do with your work?
Yeah, of course it has nothing to do with my work. I'm very well liked, well regarded. Thankfully, I've got a wonderful reputation with the patients, with my staff, with my colleagues, and I actually enjoy what I do. But, you know, we came to Washington because we're so distressed. You know, frontline doctors like myself, we're seeing patients not get what they need. We're seeing the doctor-patient relationship being completely eroded, that the governors are empowering pharmacies to overrule doctors who've had conversations with their patients.
Crazy.
It's really something that Americans should be alarmed about. And as you probably know, I did not know things were going to go viral. Of course, I was told later that we were the most viral video of all time. Apparently, there was 18 million views on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, wherever it is, and they all kind of summarily pulled all of it. It was just all taken off. My own website was taken down. And
I believe that was Squarespace. I'm pretty sure it was. I think I'm right. I better research that and see. But a website was just taken down for violation of terms. I mean, this is truly remarkable to watch the coordination between all these different companies. And they all get together. It's much like what happened to Alex Jones when all the platforms within, I think, 2 days took him down and depersoned him across the board. This is so incredibly dangerous. And these are the kinds of companies that, for those of us out there with independent thought, need to avoid at all costs. It's kind of like if a pharmacist, if a doctor ever prescribes you something, like in the case, I don't know where we stand on hydroxychloroquine in Mississippi. And look, I've talked about quercetin and vitamin C. I would not run to hydroxychloroquine without a second thought. It's a pharmaceutical. There are side effects. So I don't think it should be the first choice, to be honest with you. But I would try something natural first. But I'm glad to know hydroxychloroquine's out there if I needed it. If a doctor prescribed you hydroxychloroquine and you went to your pharmacist and the pharmacist refused to fill it, because they just don't do that? Override your doctor? Boy, I would find a new pharmacy if I were you.
And it's been interesting ever since.
And we should say for our viewers who haven't seen it, and presumably our viewers can't see it because the tech companies have censored it, but it wasn't an hour-long video on hydroxychloroquine. There are many parts to it, including what you just said, that were interesting, that were clearly true. Shouldn't you, as a practicing physician with a medical degree, be allowed to express your views on science as you practice it without being censored?
You know, what's funny is the video that got the most attention was a press conference we did right in front of the Supreme Court, but actually the summit was 7 hours of doctors teaching the American people. We decided to come straight to the American people with lots of social media. So we did a morning session for 3.5 hours and an afternoon session for 3.5 hours. I'm not sure you even knew that. And we went through everything with the lockdown, masks, hydroxychloroquine treatment, other treatments, just all of it, how it affects older people, younger people, et cetera. That
right.
was actually the majority of the summit. And yes, people will be able to find it on, I had to rebuild my website really quickly, America's Frontline Doctors. They took my URL, so it's got the word summit now, America's Frontline Doctors Summit.com. I don't want anyone to just believe me.
They took her URL. They just took her domain name. She paid for it. Usually you pay, you know, by the year. You can get a domain name for around $9.99 a year or whatever. They just took it. Kind of shows that in the digital world, you don't really own anything. It can be just taken from you anytime they want. But isn't that fascinating? So these doctors did a 7 hour, she said, two, three and a half hour sessions, 7 hours of doctors who have been in the trenches treating COVID patients at a time when the entire country is freaked out about COVID. And they went through all different aspects of it and answered questions and gave their view on it. And somehow that is verboten. You can't do that. Meanwhile, we get how many hours every morning on mainstream news, giving you the death counts from the day before, where the spikes were, all the pointy head academics who come on and tell you what they think. Now, they haven't been treating any of it. You know, these are your medical experts who are at NBC and CBS and all of the different networks. They come on. Dr. Anthony Fauci, to my knowledge, I don't know if he's treated a single COVID patient during this time. We get hours and hours a day, every single day. I can't imagine if you totaled it up per day, how many hours of airtime doctors who aren't treating COVID patients get. And that's fine. That's fine. It's got to be in the hundreds. I mean, seriously, when you overlap every network and every interview they do with every one of these officials from state health departments and county health departments and the press conferences and Anthony Fauci, it's got to be hundreds of hours every single day for 4 months. These doctors who are actually in the trenches take 7 hours and do a press conference to explain their experiences and their ideas on locks, lockdowns and masks and all that stuff, and it is scrubbed. It's kicked off the air. Hundreds of hours a day of the mainstream doctors, they can't allow these people 7 hours of information, some of it which might contradict what the medical mafia wants to put out, the Anthony Fauci Goomba medical mafia. I'll let her finish up real quick here.
Me, because I'm saying it. We put together a white paper that has all the science. It's utterly irrefutable that hydroxychloroquine is safe. That's without question. And there's tons and tons of studies to show now that it's quite efficacious. You have to kind of wonder why we're still talking about an FDA-approved medication. Been around for 65 years. It's been around since long before George Washington.
There's the problem. It's been around for 65 years. You just answered your own question there, Doc. There's no money left in a 65-year-old drug. Now, if the pharmaceutical company could take hydroxychloroquine and just change one molecule in it and then repatent it and sell it for a few hundred dollars a tablet, oh, you can bet they'd be really high on it then. But apparently, the longstanding generic drug, hydroxychloroquine, is working just fine by itself. And that is the problem. It doesn't have anything to do with the science. It has to do with the money. Now, you can say it's the Biden campaign, too, and you can say it's the Democrats. Sure, they play a part in this, but I guarantee you this is a money issue when it comes to hydroxychloroquine. That and people like Fauci, people in this government, Bill Gates, I'll be honest with you, they really don't care if we live or die. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I wanted to say one other thing about this deplatforming of doctors, you know, the tech scrubs of doctors who dare to question masks or lockdowns or hydroxychloroquine. Keep this in mind when you watch the medical system try to silence people on vaccines. See, again, this should be a teachable moment for you. You understand now what it is. There's only one acceptable view, and that is the view that comes down from on high when it comes to medicine in this country. So maybe those of you who think that people who question the safety and efficacy of every single vaccine they try to shove down our throats right now, what our kids get, 72 doses of these things while their brain is still forming, while their immune system is still forming. I don't know. Autism just seems to have gone up a lot since they started doing that. But they tell us there's no connection, so I guess I just need to sit down and shut up. I must be crazy. But hopefully people can extrapolate from this if you are If you want to hear from doctors about an alternative point of view, it's called a second opinion. What they are doing right now by firing this ER doctor, by censoring the video from America's frontline doctors, by censoring the video from the two California doctors that talked about the real health dangers to your immune system, the psychological dangers to lockdowns. These two California doctors, it was probably a couple of months ago, they made a viral video talking about the danger of the lockdown scenario, the house arrest scenario. They were censored. What they are doing is they're giving a second opinion. This is tantamount to, essentially, the medical system from people like Fauci and, you know, the overseers of this, the power players in the medical system right now. This is tantamount to them saying, if you get a bad prognosis for anything, you are forbidden from getting a second opinion. Do you know that sometimes doctors disagree on a diagnosis and disagree on a course of treatment for a patient? This goes on each and every day in every city of this country. You go in, you see one doctor, they do some tests, they ask you some questions, they diagnose you with something, and then they give you a prognosis. And if it's dire, a lot of people's friends and loved ones will say, oh, that's not good, but I think just to be sure, why don't you get a second opinion, right? Isn't that normal? And we do, and the medical system has, up till now, allowed that to happen. But essentially, anything that counters Dr. Fauci or all of these health directors across the country, including ours here in Mississippi, if you seek any information or just another point of view on this, you're somehow wrong. Yeah, no, we can't allow a second opinion when it comes to lockdowns. We can't allow a second opinion when it comes to masks. We can't allow a second opinion when it comes to vaccines. We can't allow a second opinion when it comes to hydroxychloroquine. I mean, the medical system is based on second opinions. It has been for forever. I know people who have gotten dire diagnoses that turned out to be wrong. And thank God they went somewhere else and got a second opinion because the first doctor was wrong. In this scenario, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, the NIH, and the CDC, those are the first doctors, and their prognosis was, originally, if you remember, death everywhere, right? This is the bubonic plague. This is the Black Death sweeping our country. That was their initial prognosis. Now they just try to adjust it and pretend they weren't wrong before. This is the Dr. Fauci who told you, oh, mask, nobody should be wearing a mask. It might make you feel better, but it's not really doing you any good. He said that on May 6th. Now he's talking about covering up your eyes, too. He tells you you got to wear a mask. I mean, Dr. Fauci is giving a second opinion to his first opinion. He's flip-flopping around. But this is the medical mafia trying to strip us all of public second opinions by censoring any doctors who challenge the narrative pushed out by these failed agencies, too. I've got to say it again. I mean, the CDC, the NIH, the FDA, look at health in America. Do you think they've been serving your interest? $40 billion a year to the NIH, $10 to $12 billion a year to the CDC. And our health outcomes are worse than they've ever been in this country. They're supposed to, their whole model should be questioned. Not just their advice on one little issue like masks or lockdowns or social distancing. I mean, their entire model should be questioned. They are such catastrophic failures. Look at the health statistics. Go just look at charts of I do this when I'm looking for show research. Chart of chronic health conditions in the U.S. Chart of diabetes in the U.S. Chart of childhood autism in the United States. Chart of, I mean, anything. Go look at these charts. Very, very few of them will be anything except a point at the bottom left up to the top right, just like a stair step. And we're not supposed to question them. We're not supposed to get a second opinion on the CDC, the NIH, and the FDA, who have been just catastrophic failures. Vioxx reported to have killed 500,000 people, FDA approved. How's that working out for them? I just hope this wakes people up. I really hope it does. I hope people can. The problem is people can't extrapolate. They will see this. A lot of people, particularly on the conservative side of things, will say, oh, look at them trying to go after hydroxychloroquine. They don't know what they're talking about. They're trying to suppress this. They're trying to suppress this cheap drug just to hurt Donald Trump. But then you'll hear the same people come out of the NIH or the CDC, and they'll say anybody that questions the new coronavirus vaccine is a quack. And you'll believe them because you'll forget how tragically wrong they were when coronavirus started. We need second, third, fourth, and fifth opinions on just about everything in the medical world right now. And so when you see suppression of natural cures, when you see doctors, I've done these stories about the FBI raiding clinics who did high-dose vitamin C infusions. Again, Vioxx killed 500,000 people, but heaven forbid somebody gets a vitamin C infusion. There's a lot of institutions in this country right now that need to be shaken to their core and brought to their knees. And the medical mafia is one of them. And so if there's any good that comes out of this, and this horrible misinformation that they're doing, the terrible consequences, this depression that they are hurtling us into, the psychological damage they're doing to our kids and to all of our citizens, maybe this is what it takes to just absolutely discredit the medical system. I would hope it would actually spur people to try to stay a little bit healthier, too, and tune into the Mike Madison Show every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock for Hump Day Health. But it would just be nice if people finally woke up and realized how badly we have been misled by this medical mafia for the last 50 years. All
night with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
I wanted to hit a couple of things I saw. I talked a lot yesterday about the big tech swing and a miss. I mean, if you think they're busting up big tech, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe there'll be some executive order, which I can't stand, but I mean, these people are oligarchs at this point, and I don't think anything's going to be done. But I caught it, came up in my YouTube feed. I am not a Sean Hannity fan. Golly, you want to talk about an agent of disinformation out there to drive establishment narratives for I don't know how long he's been doing it, but that's what he's been doing. Now everybody thinks he's jumped on the coattails of Donald Trump. Everybody thinks Sean Hannity is one of the great patriots out there because he always tells everybody, you're a fine American. If you agree with Sean Hannity, you're a fine American. He's been pushing wars, pushing Romneys, pushing McCains. He's been pushing all these things for years. Now he's on the Trump bandwagon. Everybody thinks he's some kind of a patriot. Now, there are a couple of things in this clip that I saw because I was interested because it says Representative Gates joins Hannity to discuss testimony of big tech CEOs. A couple of things in this thing I wanted to point out. Here's a couple of them.
Throw firebrand Congressman Matt Gaetz and former ambassador and former acting director of the National Intelligence, who did a great service to this country, actually allowing us to see some truth about the deep state. You did a phenomenal job, sir. Thank you.
Now, here, what's funny about that? This is Sean Hannity telling you, oh, Richard Grenell, he really helped us expose the deep state. I am looking at the video right now. Sean Hannity has on one lapel a microphone. On the other lapel, he has a American flag lapel pin, and right underneath the American flag lapel pin, he has, anyone, a CIA lapel pin. Can somebody please explain this to me? Number one, just the absolute sheer hypocrisy or silliness of someone who complains about the deep state while wearing a CIA lapel pin. But even more than that, I'd like to know, why does Sean Hannity wear a CIA lapel pin? Anyone? 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 I mean, at the very least, it's creepy. If nothing else, it is creepy that he wears that. The other indication is that maybe he's just a part of him. He's just part of Operation Mockingbird, spewing out. And this is why he sells you on all the wars. just absolutely amazing. But this was another thing I wanted to point out, too. Let's play this clip a little bit further in the interview.
And Matt Gaetz, you were particularly poignant and powerful today in your arguments. I'd like to give you a chance to explain.
Here's the message to the president. Congress will not do anything on big tech because Congress is bought off by big tech. But we proved today that...
Okay, that's all he really needs to say. Did you hear that? Congress will not do anything about big tech because Congress is bought off by big tech. Now, I'm not here to argue that point, but I think there's a little context should be brought to this, too. And it kind of ties with what I was talking about earlier, talking about the medical mafia. Let's look at the industries that have bought and paid for our Congress and our politicians. In 2019, if you look at this in a bar graph, it's really striking. What's the number one industry that has bought and paid for Congress? Now, again, Matt Gaetz is not wrong. Google, YouTube, the big tech companies, absolutely. They've got tons of lobbyists. They spend some money. I'm going to tell you how much in just a second. But it's the same on every issue. To act like somehow Congress is really pure, but somehow big tech's gotten its nose under the tent and bought off our Congress. What is that news to you, Matt Gaetz? Who's the number one lobbyist to Congress critters in Washington, D.C.? Anyone? Anyone. Pharmaceuticals and health products. To the tune of almost $300 million in 2019 alone. $298,264,329. It is first by a long shot. So when they come out with the vaccine and they tell everybody you need to get a vaccine and all the Congress critters tell you we can't wait, the only thing that will solve this is a vaccine, you think it might have anything to do with the $300 million that were given to Congress critters last year? After that, electronics manufacturing and equipment at $156 million, almost half. The pharmaceutical industry gives double what the number two does. Then insurance. Can anyone say Obamacare and why we have a health system set up on forcing Americans to buy a product from a private industry? Insurance contributed $155 million in 2019. Then it's oil and gas, $125 million. Does anybody know why we're really messing around with Venezuela? It's got all that sweet crude. You think it has anything to do with the $125 million that the oil and gas industry gives to Congress? This list goes down: business associations, electric utilities, hospitals, nursing homes, miscellaneous manufacturing, distribution, air transport, telecom, securities and investment. And let's go all the way down this list, and I'm just going to show you internet, $75 million. Actually, $74,285,639 was given by these big tech firms. If they're all lumped into the internet, they may be in some other categories too. But the pharmaceutical industry gave, what is that, four times as much. So Matt Gaetz isn't wrong. They're not going to do anything about any of these industries, and it's the reason we have the system we have right now where special interests drive the bus. So again, Matt Gaetz is not wrong about big tech owning it, but let's not pretend like it's isolated, like big tech has carved out some kind of cornered the market on congressional corruption. All of these industries have got their nose under the tent. The pharmaceutical company just absolutely leading the charge. So I'm all for just abandoning big tech. I don't know if I'm for government action because I'm a libertarian, but I'm willing to have the case made. They're a danger to us all. Going to change topics. False Flag Friday when I come back. Stay with you.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Every Friday, we take a little jog off into something. We talk about a little foreign policy stuff that's not in the news. It's not sexy. It's not hip. But it's still happening, things around the world. We do a segment called False Flag Friday. For those of you who do not know what a false flag is, I'm about to the point where I say, just look it up. But it's essentially events that are created to stoke some kind of a military or diplomatic confrontation. It's led us into a lot of wars, not just us, but other nations throughout history. It's a tried and true tactic, and I'm going to show you that it really exists in real time. And I narrated this in real time. You're only going to hear one show that pointed out what I'm going to tell you right now years ago. But boy, this one stunk. I knew this was a phony baloney operation from the get-go when it happened, and it seems like they're proving it now. Before I get started with that, I'm just going to ask one more time. I think this is an appropriate time to bring it up. Has anybody seen a picture of Ghislaine Maxwell since she's been arrested? Anyone, anyone, anyone. Mike Madison at WYAB.com. I find it curious that we have not seen a single picture of Ghislaine Maxwell since she has been, air quotes here in the studio, arrested. Now, apparently they declassified unsealed some records from a 2015 lawsuit by one of the victims or several of the victims. I haven't had time to go through that very much, but what's kind of funny about it, the only thing I did get, I just started seeing them this morning, so I'm going to dig into them, see if there's anything worth talking about. If anybody has any information, email me, let me know. But Alan Dershowitz has been really big about saying, I hope they release all the documents because that'll prove I'm not guilty. And they release the documents, and there's stuff in there that it just absolutely implicates Alan Dershowitz as having being sent some of these young girls. And so now Dershowitz has come out and said, I hope they've got videos because that'll exonerate me. he keeps moving the goalposts. Alan Dershowitz seems like he's up to his neck in this Jeffrey Epstein thing. But anyway, I'm just wondering why. I mean, think about it. Even Ghislaine Maxwell's hearings for her bail hearing or her original arraignment, this was all done presumably over Zoom. Nobody has a snapshot. We got some paintings, you know, the court artist stuff. That's all I've seen, paintings of Ghislaine Maxwell. Pardon me if I'm a little suspicious. Anyway, I ran across a good summary of this was in the American Conservative. Here's a great summary of American Middle East foreign policy. After 2 decades of U.S., quote, leadership, unquote, in the Middle East, what is the result? A series of nations wrecked. New terrorist organizations created, even more enemies made, thousands of Americans killed, tens of thousands of U.S. personnel wounded, hundreds of thousands of foreign civilians killed, even more wounded, millions of people displaced, trillions of dollars squandered. That's American foreign policy as it has existed for the last 30, 40, 50 years. But there was, in particular, when it comes to Syria, there's been some news out. I'll read from this story. Let's see who put this out. This was actually put out on Zero Hedge, reporting on someone else's reporting. As the ongoing increased sanctions, again, we're still sanctioning a bunch of people. This is foreign policy that nobody's paying attention to now. As the ongoing increased sanctions regime on Syria demonstrate, Washington's pursuit of regime change against Assad is not over, despite Damascus, that's the capital of Syria, clearly having won the war. And with the U.S. having widely ditched talks of some kind of overt major Iraq-style military intervention, as was the case under Barack Obama in August of 2013. While mainstream media has largely moved on from coverage of Syria, so much for their feigned humanitarian concern for millions of Syrians suffering under severe American-led sanctions, some analysts like independent journalist Aaron Matei have been detailing damning leaks from the Chemical Weapons Watchdog, Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons. A series of leaked documents from the OPCW raised the possibility that the Trump administration bombed Syria on false grounds and pressured officials at the world's top chemical weapons watchdog to cover it up. two OPCW officials, highly regarded scientists with more than 25 years of combined experience at the organization, challenged the whitewash from inside. Yet unlike many whistleblowers of the Trump era, they have found no champions or even an audience within establishment circles of the United States, the report continues. So see what that is? They love whistleblowers that come out and implicate Donald Trump in something, right? They love the books they put out and all that stuff. But when whistleblowers come out and say, hey, look, the OPCW has been lying to us about the chemical weapons attacks in Syria, mainstream media not so interested. Well, except for, and I believe this is One American News Network, they have actually done some good work in Syria. They busted some of these false flag stuff before, but this is a new report from them on these chemical attacks. And I want to remind you, when these chemical attacks in Syria happened, the Mike Madison Show stood high, tall, and alone in saying, this is a crock of crap. There was no reason that Bashar al-Assad, as he was winning the war, would suddenly gas his own people. And it was always done right after we announced, as Trump was trying to pull troops out and abandon this ridiculous thing, in this operation in Syria, suddenly, within 10 days, Bashar al-Assad had, air quotes here in the studio, gassed his own people again. It made no logical sense. I said it the day that it happened. It made no sense. Yet we went ahead and we bombed Syria twice. You remember the beautiful, beautiful missiles taking off from our warships in the Mediterranean. We took all the, we kept troops there. We sanctioned even harder than before. All based on a lie, and at least it's finally coming out that that was, these chemical attacks in Syria were false flag attacks designed to keep us involved militarily in Syria, to get rid of Bashar al-Assad, not because of American interest, not because of U.S. security, but for the other interests that we're actually sending our troops to fight and die for in the Middle East. It has nothing to do with the American people.
At least 40 members of the terrorist-linked White Helmets have admitted they staged fake chemical attacks to provoke retaliation against the Syrian government. Members of the group, who won an Oscar for their Netflix documentary, came out in recent interviews for a study presented to the United Nations and confessed they had, in fact, faked the attacks. According to Maxim Grigoriev, the director for the Foundation of the Study of Democracy, the White Helmets provided a detailed description of the methods commonly used by their organization to fake the scenes. The admissions came after a thorough fact-finding mission carried out in Syria, which uncovered numerous members of the terrorist-affiliated group, as well as dozens of other actors who took part in the fake attacks. Grigoriev explained the participants were often innocent bystanders who were taken advantage of by the White Helmets. Many were living in poverty and agreed to participate just to earn a few dollars to buy food for their families. A woman recounts how the White Helmets members gave her a white sheet to wrap around herself and says she was then told to lie motionless on the ground. She was even instructed to fill her mouth with toothpaste so she would appear to be choking on chemical weapons. Another man says he was told to close his eyes and play dead while the White Helmets filmed him being taken to a hospital. And in Douma, the site of last year's chemical attack near Damascus, a White Helmets member says that local children were given candy as a reward for acting like they were sick on camera.
How sick is that? How sick is that? Toothpaste in a woman's mouth, candy for the kids to play dead, so that we can perpetuate wars in the Middle East. For a country that's done nothing to us, particularly in Syria. Syria, a regime, they like to call them, you know, anywhere we target, we call them a regime, not a government. But the Syrian government was actually protecting Christians in Syria. The leader, Bashar al-Assad, he shaves his chin every morning. He's no radical cleric, Muslim terrorist cleric. And they use these people. In one case, it was so easy. And I mean, whether it matters to anybody or not, I know this isn't sexy stuff, but the American taxpayer did pay for about, in the two attacks that we did, the missile attacks in retaliation for these bogus gas attacks that were laid at the feet of Assad, you spent about $400 million on just the missiles. Just the missiles. Doesn't cost, not including the cost of getting a warship to the Middle East, just the missiles themselves. About $400 million taxpayer dollars were used in these missiles. And one time it was so easy. All that happened, one of these false flags, if you ever saw the one where there were people in a like an emergency room situation and they're all pouring water over each other and all freaking out. And it was described as the chaos after a chemical attack. And essentially all it was a camera, a guy with a camera, and another guy walked into a room full of people just standing around minding their own business. They had gotten they had been in some underground areas and gotten very dusty. Some of them were suffering from dust inhalation because they were underground to escape the bombing. Yeah, people live like this. And our foreign policy encourages it. They torment people in these countries. It's not just us. It's Saudi Arabia and it's Israel and it's other countries too. But so these kids came out of from underground suffering from dust inhalation. So they're seeking some treatment. A cameraman and a guy walk into the thing and they go, chemical attack, chemical, chemical, chemical. And everybody starts freaking out because they think there's something in the air that's about to kill them. It's on their skin. So they start covering their mouths and washing each other off. They're all frantic because they think a chemical weapon has been released and they're all about to drop dead. And the cameraman just steady sits there, films it, and then shoots it off to all your mainstream media. And they report it as a chemical attack. It was nothing more than one guy shouting out, chemical, chemical, chemical. Man, we have no business being in the Middle East, and particularly when it comes to this kind of stuff. I want to talk a little bit about NATO. Our illustrious former Raytheon executive, who's now in charge of our Defense Department, came out and actually said something truthful the other day. It's a complete accident. You'll see what I'm talking about. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
The real question is all of the hysteria around COVID-19 and the lockdowns and everything else, is that a false flag? Is it just, I mean, I think it's a real disease. I don't think it's a hoax. But I think it's kind of funny. I've got a couple of clips here where the truth wants to come out. See, my thing is most people want to blame everything on trying to defeat Trump. I don't agree with that because this is happening around the world in places that have nothing to do with Donald Trump. Governments are undertaking crazy actions. And I did the story the other day of the guy from, I believe it was Belarus, where he went to the IMF and wanted to borrow some money, or they were going to give him some coronavirus aid, but they said, you can't have the aid unless you do a total lockdown and destroy your economy. This is the IMF, the big financial interest. And that just bolsters my belief that I've said from the very beginning of this. I think that the big money powers, the Wall Street, the globalists wanted this big clampdown because it gave them carte blanche to print off as much money as they possibly wanted to. And I think that was proven. This is Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, when he testified this week, and he makes one of these little slips. As they say, the truth wants to come out.
There's great uncertainty around the development of therapeutics and vaccines. All of us want them to happen as soon as possible, but we can't plan on that. We've got to hope for the worst, hope for the best, and plan for the worst, I guess it goes.
Yeah, hope for the worst. Yeah, that's exactly what the globalists and the central banks are hoping for. They're hoping for the worst so they can just continue to print endlessly. Let's see what else we got here. Troops are leaving Germany. Now, some good news, bad news to this whole scenario, but I'll read the story about this. U.S. will bring about 6,400 forces home from Germany and shift about 5,600 to other countries in Europe, the Pentagon said Wednesday. As Donald Trump said, it was because the country is delinquent on defense. He attacked Germany's failure to spend more than its budget on military as the Pentagon outlined a plan to slash the U.S. presence there by a third, a move which will cost single-digit billions. Trump bluntly said Wednesday morning at the White House, quote, "We're reducing the force because they're not paying their bills. It's very simple. They're delinquent." Defense Secretary Mark Esper said that some moves will begin in months and will leave about 24,000 troops still in Germany. Trump has repeatedly accused Germany of failing to pay its bills, which is a misstatement on the issue. NATO nations have pledged to dedicate 2% of their gross domestic product to defense spending by 2024, and Germany is still short of that goal at around 1.4%. And what's interesting about this is because when I look at it, I thought, silly me, I thought American foreign policy and the deployment of our sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, moms and dads was about the security of the United States, you know, national defense. But if it's simply a matter of not paying the VIG by Germany, that we can just move troops or bring some of them home, then why the hell are they there in the first place? See, our military deployments are just as much about making sure they spend those dollars with the military defense contractors. It's a sales operation. It uproots and takes tens of thousands of Americans away from their friends, away from their families, away from productive use and jobs here in the United States and ships them halfway around the world. But hell, that sells a lot of weapons. And it's so just really kind of funny to me that these kinds of things show you our troop presence in Germany has nothing to do with security for anybody or American interests. No, it's a very expensive deployment somewhere of our young men and women in order to sell more weapons to get they got to start paying their fair share. Now, look, I'm fine with that. Germany should be paying for its self-defense. As a matter of fact, they should be paying for all of it, and all of our troops should come home, and bases should have been closed, and NATO should have been dissolved back in 1990 when the Soviet Union fell apart. But you can't sell weapons without a boogeyman, so they kept NATO together. And here's another one of those truth wants to come out from former Raytheon executive and current defense secretary Mark Esper.
Let's be clear. I think Germany is the wealthiest country in Europe. Germany can and should pay more to its defense. It should certainly meet the 2% standard, and I would argue go above and beyond that. And I've said that very publicly.
Yeah, this is a former Raytheon executive, one of the top defense contractors in the world. He thinks Germany should pay their 2% plus a little bit more. Again, why did Mark Esper leave his post with Raytheon, where he was making millions of dollars a year, to take a job as defense secretary making, what, 180 maybe, 180,000? This is why. He's a weapons salesman. That's what he's doing, but he's about to get to it. Listen to what he says at the end of this clip that shows you what NATO is actually about. It's not about securing anything, because there's no expansionist Soviet Union. It's not about American interest. It's not about American defense. He'll tell you at the end of this.
I've said that very privately to my counterparts as well about the importance of NATO, any alliance, sharing the burden so that we can all deter Russia and avoid peace in Europe.
Did you catch that? I'll play it one more time. That's a fun one for me. I like these things when they misspeak, but they actually tell the truth.
So that we can all deter Russia and avoid peace in Europe.
Yeah, at all costs. Doesn't matter how many billions it costs. We want to make sure that we deter any peace in Europe. There's one other thing I wanted to hit on. I guess I've got just a couple of seconds to do this. I found this story just pretty fascinating. And I know a lot of people will probably really cheer for this idea. Just caution you to think through it a little bit. Think for yourself, because to me, this is an asinine story. Senate committee moves to allow Americans to sue China over COVID-19. The Senate Judiciary Committee advanced a bill, Senate Bill 4212, that would allow U.S. citizens to sue China for physical or economic damages related to COVID-19. GOP supporters said the bill would hold China accountable for actions related to the disease's spread. Quote, the CCP's lies and deceit and incompetence helped turn the COVID-19 disaster from what would have been a very deadly but local disease into a worldwide pandemic. That's true. But I would suggest also that our own government has taken what would have been just a pandemic and a bad flu season and turned it into an economically devastating consequence. The Chinese have some culpability in COVID. Sure seems like it came out of that lab. Of course, Anthony Fauci had a direct relationship with that lab, and we've funded that lab before. So is it all China, or could China not have even developed this thing without U.S. help and millions of U.S. taxpayer dollars? Matter of fact, some of you out there helped to fund probably the research that led to COVID-19. Fun little fact. So China has some culpability of this. Surely they lied about it. Surely they covered it up. Surely they didn't want to take the blame. There's all kinds of things China's guilty of, no doubt about that. But it didn't. COVID-19 and what China did not decimate our economy. Our reaction to COVID-19 is what's decimated our economy. But I'm just curious, for those people that would cheer this idea and think maybe we can really stick it to China and just sue them into oblivion, should we be sued for the 1918 Spanish flu? I don't guess there's any statute of limitations on murder, is there? 100 years ago. But Trump himself said that he believed that the Spanish flu originated in Kansas. And it was our troops that spread it around the world during World War I. Now, Mike, that's different. I guess that's different. Should we be sued for the 2008 financial crisis? It started right here in Wall Street, right? It was a worldwide economic catastrophe. We exported a financial crisis off of our shores around the world. And this was Wall Street, the Federal Reserve, and our government. And all three of those parties knew exactly what they were doing when they were doing all this gambling on mortgages and debt and all these other crazy financial instruments of destruction that they were building. Should we be sued for the economic fallout of the 2008 financial crisis? That was exported directly from the United States of America, and particularly New York City. Should we be sued for the hundreds of thousands of dead and innocent people in the Middle East based on, oops, there were no weapons of mass destruction? Should the United States government be forced to pony up for that? And should our government be sued for the opioid crisis created since the U.S. invaded Afghanistan and the heroin crops went from nothing to blossoming, and then it started a whole opioid crisis here in the United States and around the world? You see what I'm saying? Is the Chinese government good? No, absolutely not. Did they cover stuff up? Absolutely. Does this thing look like it came from them and probably from a Wuhan lab? Absolutely. It sure feels like it, doesn't it? But it just cracks me up. The GOP is ready to sue. Everybody's going to be ready to sue. You think this is a strike against the heart of China, but it's the hypocrisy that gets to me. You want to start all these international courts of everybody suing everybody else? I got to tell you, we're going to spend a lot of money on defense attorneys here in the United States. Probably far more than we'll ever recover from other countries, because we have opened ourselves up to a lot of the same kind of stuff, too. All right, I will take another turn, finish up our show with a look back at the lunacy of the last week, and there is certainly plenty of that to go around. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, finishing up the week. It's on the home stretch to a Friday. We take a look back at the lunacy of the last week, and originally the title of this thing was a look back at the lunacy of the last of the left. Most of this does, it really does, it really still is kind of leftist. I mean, you Democrats, you rein in your side. Do something. I don't know what to say to you. You've jumped the shark here. Absolutely insane. Let's start with some of the medical stuff. This is the next thing we may be seeing out in public in the COVID-19 hysteria.
I think we're going to get to a point where eye protection is recommended.
Goggles.
You know, it might. I mean, if you really want perfect protection of your mucosal surfaces, for your audience, Jen, as you very well know, you have mucosa in the nose, mucosa in the mouth, but you also have mucosa in the eye. And that's one of the things that, you know, theoretically, you should protect all the mucosal surfaces. So if you have goggles or an eye shield, you should use it. I mean, it's not universally recommended, but if you really want to be complete, you should probably use it if you can. It's just that it's so easy for people to just make a cloth mask.
It's so easy. Well, let's just do the easy stuff, Anthony Fauci. I mean, let's not do any of the hard stuff. I mean, come on, if we're going to do it. I started thinking if they can just get the ears in there, we can be kind of like see no, hear no, speak no virus. They can just plug us completely up, just eyes, nose, mouth, everything covered up. to further distance ourselves from each other. Just absolutely insane. Speaking of insane, when it comes to masks, Nancy Pelosi, obviously, she's been oxygen starved to her brain for quite a while. The mask is not helping.
The Speaker of the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi, is compelling lawmakers to wear face masks on the floor of the chamber. More details from our North America correspondent, David Willis.
This policy applies to House representatives and staff. Masks will be available at entry points to the House of Representatives, and members will be allowed to remove their masks in order to address the chamber. But should someone refuse to wear one whilst in the chamber, Ms. Pelosi has warned that she has the authority to ask the Sergeant at Arms to remove that member from the chamber floor for violating decorum.
Banana Republic. Say it with me. We are operating a banana republic. And one of the leaders of that banana republic, if there is a worse little troll up in Washington, D.C. right now more than Jerry Nadler, I don't know who it would be. Here is Jerry Nadler, the enforcer for the new Pelosi rule.
The gentleman yields back. I would remind Mr. Jordan, Mr. Biggs, and Mr. Johnson to stop violating the rules of the committee.
Stop it!
To stop violating the safety of the members of the committee. To stop holding themselves out as not caring by refusing to wear their masks.
We're all going to die!
Is it permissible to drink a sip of coffee?
It is not permissible.
No!
Not to drink.
We can't drink coffee in the room. I'm getting ready to ask questions now.
Mr. Gates is recognized.
No. He went,
and that's why I took off my mask, Mr. Chairman.
I'm going to go.
Okay.
Mr. Jordan is recognized.
That's Jerry Nadler, the new mask Nazi. No coffee for you! Speaking of Jerry Nadler, he did this week when confronted about Antifa violence.
It is true. There's violence across the whole country. Do you disavow the violence from Antifa that's happening in Portland right now? That's a myth.
That's being spread only in Washington, D.C.
About Antifa in Portland?
What? Yes.
Sir, there's videos everywhere online. There's fires and riots. They're throwing fireworks at federal officers. DHS is there. Look online. It gets crazy, Mr. Nadler.
Antifa violence that you can see firsthand if you go out into the streets or watch videos of it being filmed, Antifa violence that you can see with your eyes is a myth. Climate change, however, and the end of the world in 12 years, that, he says, is science, even though you cannot see it at all. This is the Democrats questioning William Barr. I'm not a William Barr fan at all. He is a deep state swamp creature as far as I'm concerned. I know many people who disagree with me. We'll see in the end if he accomplishes anything. But the Democrats, and this idea, Maxine Waters started a very annoying trend a while back. If you remember her reclaiming my time, this was last year. Can you remember who she was questioning? But boy, she started an annoying trend in Congress.
It wasn't
reclaiming my time in April.
Times is when does something actually become custom?
Reclaiming my time. This is not a trick question
in this country.
And I'm reclaiming my time, Mr. General.
Without any remedy.
I'm reclaiming my time. Let me share with
you. So you got to let him answer.
Reclaiming my time. You
directed.
Reclaiming my time, sir. Reclaiming my time.
He found
reclaiming my time without political bias.
He said he
and in
found
April,
evidence.
Reclaiming my time, Mr. Turner. In
That's
reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time,
from.
Mr. Barr.
Occurring substances.
Attorney General, reclaiming my time. There are rules by which we operate here. I would ask you to respect them.
But
there's
the
no
64 Act
Excuse
did not
me.
Extend to...
Reclaiming my time, sir. In both documents...
Mr. Attorney General, reclaiming my time.
I was talking
reclaiming
about.
My time.
I think
you
that's
stated?
What it's...
Okay, reclaiming my time. And again, I'm happy...
Shame on you, Mr. Barr.
Can I just say... Mr.
Shame on you.
Can I just
my
say...
My time is expired.
Shame. We need to reclaim our government is what we need to do. I'm telling you, this is Banana Republic stuff. Now, this next thing I'm going to go ahead and warn you on. Strong, unintended... sexual imagery accompanies this next thing. I think it's unintentional, but I don't know. You can't really trust them.
This morning, as COVID cases mount across the country, the mass debate is intensifying.
People are very passionate on both sides of the great mass debate.
The partisan mass debate is heating up.
Mass debate's growing.
The president is trying to have us cover the mass debate.
CVS, Target, and Walgreens are getting in on the mass debate.
The mass debate now taking center stage at local restaurants.
It's 9 minutes after six now, and there's new video of a raging mass debate. The mass debate in Georgia is getting ugly.
The great mass debate in West Virginia might soon be coming to an end.
This mass debate is far from over.
How many mass debates have you gotten into? Love to hear it.
The mass debate was taken to a whole nother level.
Bishop David Zubik tells Pittsburgh's Action News 4 he found himself in the middle of a mass debate.
And we'll dive deeper into this pet store mass debate.
So we're going to begin with this thing we're calling the great mass debate.
I'm just saying, I don't know if they can't hear themselves. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I guess I'll take a break. I've got those kind of grouped together. I'll get to these other ones. Some just really, really, really insane snowflake stuff coming up. Stay with me. This is the Mike Madison Show, 1039
WYAB. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Final segment of the day. I always try to add some value to your weekend. I try to send you into the weekend with some good advice, and I can't give you any better advice than to head out to Your Pie sometime this weekend. Take the kids, pick up some of the best food in central Mississippi. This is Your Pie. They're located at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway out in Gluckstadt, right there by Germantown High School. They have got 10-inch brick oven fired pizzas, paninis, pastas, salads. They've got gelato, yeah, it's really good brownies, too, out there. I'll admit to you, I'm very weak for a brownie. I pay a lot of attention. I don't eat a whole lot of sugar, but that brownie's worth a treat. They have beers and wines, all kinds of things, too. Great outdoor dining out there. This is one of these restaurants, one of these locally owned restaurants. They're veteran owned. This is where we should be deploying our resources to try to help these small businesses, and the restaurant industry has probably been impacted more than any other industry out there. So that's Your Pie out in Gluckstadt, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. If you can't get out there, download the Waiter app. You can have a food brought to you, and make sure you get the Your Pie app. They've got just all kinds of deals and extras and points and all the good things for frequenting their restaurants, and you're going to want to do that from the first visit because it won't be your only visit. If you try Your Pie, you will go back again. You might as well get some credit for it. So download the Your Pie app as well. You will not regret going out there, and I will probably see you out there this weekend at some point. All right, we're finishing up with our look at the lunacy of the last week. There's all kinds of fun stuff here. Rutgers University. The English department at Rutgers University has declared that proper use of grammar is a hidden form of racism because it disadvantages students of multilingual, non-standard academic English backgrounds. Here's what they say. The critical grammar approach challenges the standard academic form of the English language in favor of a more inclusive writing experience. The curriculum puts an emphasis on the variability of the English language instead of accuracy. Quote, this approach challenges the familiar dogma that writing instruction should limit emphasis on grammar, sentence-level issues, so as to not put students from multilingual, non-standard academic English backgrounds at a disadvantage. Instead, it encourages students to develop a critical awareness of the variety of choices available to them with regard to micro-level issues in order to empower them and equip them to push against biases based on written accents. I kind of thought, when I read that, I thought, I would like to be able to have some variability in my driving. I'm not really a big fan of stop signs, particularly when there's nobody around. So can we say it's just to allow the variability of my cultural preferences that I don't particularly need to obey stop signs? The speed limit's kind of iffy in some places, too. I got to tell you, sometimes I feel like I want to flow with the traffic, and sometimes I want to feel like I want to, maybe if you're from England, maybe you can drive on the wrong side of the road here in the United States. I mean, rules are out the window. We just want to make everybody feel warm and special. Here's Joe Biden doing one of the things Joe Biden does. He went to Keene, New Hampshire. Again, everyone remember Keene, New Hampshire.
Mission of Keene.
I've been here a number of times. Last time was, I think, all the way back in 2014, but I've been here before that. I love this place. Look, what's not to like about Vermont in terms of the beauty of it?
Oh.
What a neat town. This is sort of a scenic, beautiful town. The mayor's been a good guy, and everybody's been really friendly. I like Keene a lot.
So to encapsulate, the reporter says, what do you like about Keene? He said, what do you like about Keene, New Hampshire? He said, it's a great town. What's not to like about Vermont? The Ellen stuff has been kind of interesting to watch. Ellen under attack for being quite the diva. They say, don't look at her, don't interact with her, don't talk to her, don't approach her. And she ends every show with the phrase, be kind, everybody, in the little, golf wave. Bye-bye. Be kind. I thought this was interesting, not only just in the sheer hypocrisy of the left and this idea of peace and love and that, everybody else is a racist and a homophobe and rude and Nazis and all that, but the fact that she's obviously a diva terror. She put out a letter in response to this, which I thought was interesting. In her letter, the story says, DeGeneres takes responsibility insofar as the show bears her name and insists that steps will be taken to, quote, correct the issues, unquote, going forward. Quote, here's from her letter. As we've grown exponentially, I've not been able to stay on top of everything and relied on others to do their jobs as they knew I'd want them done. Clearly some didn't, she writes. That will now change, and I'm committed to ensuring this does not happen again. These are on charges of racism, sexism, and just overall horrible behavior on the part of Ellen and of her, and her staff. What's interesting to me is I don't think the left quietly understands the cancel culture. No excuses are allowed. I think it's almost funny, too, that she seems to really deviate from. She says, I take responsibility as far as my name's on the show, but other people were in charge of that, and apparently they didn't do their job. That's a translation of exactly what she said. I don't think they quite understand the cancel culture. Another group that does not understand the cancel culture, I saw a piece on Huffington Post. Yes, I go to Huffington Post because I'm interested in what both sides say, because I'm an objective observer of the two-party ridiculous system that we're in right now. They did a piece on Margaret Sanger, who was responsible for starting Planned Parenthood and was a known eugenicist who wanted to get rid of the useless eaters, wanted to breed them out of our society. Yet the left loves Planned Parenthood and has left Margaret Sanger's name on things until just a couple of weeks ago. I read this piece on it because I wanted to see how do they justify essentially holding up and supporting this known racist killer who hated poor people and anybody who was handicapped or anything. She wanted them bred out of society. So I thought, how are they going to twist this? Here's what they said in the article. Sanger did support, quote, negative eugenics, unquote, which refers to efforts designed to decrease undesirable traits in humans. She promoted sterilization for people with hereditary disabilities, seeing them as threats to the gene pool. Now, here's where it gets good. Quote, her views are simply not supportable in that respect in the modern era, but they were so widely held in the 1920s and 30s that it's hard to condemn her completely for them, as some Chesler said in this piece. I don't think you understand how the cancel culture works. You don't get to say, hey, you can't say, the founding fathers can't be held to the thoughts of their times. No, they're just declared a racist. Anybody that ever said anything in a period of time where it was fully acceptable, but today we have evolved to not accept it. That's not an excuse, Huffington Post. That's not an excuse, Chesler. No, if you ever committed the sin of being outside of today's orthodoxy, you are to be deplatformed. Here's a great one. Boy, I'm running out of time. Owners of a Michigan bed and breakfast have removed a Norwegian flag outside of their business after being accused of promoting racism from people who think that it is a Confederate flag. Kirsten and Greg Ofenecker, owners of the Nordic Pineapple, hung the flag opposite the American flag after they moved in the Civil War era mansion in 2018, the Lansing State Journal reported. They took both flags down last week. Quote, this flag is so often mistaken for the Confederate flag, and people are often offended by it before they realize that they are mistaken. No, that's your. They never understand they're mistaken. Kjersen Offenbecker, owner of the Nordic Pineapple Bed and Breakfast, wrote on Facebook last week. She said she was forced to, quote, find a less conspicuous place for the flag after what amounts to constant harassment over it. The Nordic-themed business reported receiving, quote, at least a dozen hateful emails and a constant barrage of verbal attacks for the Norwegian flag, which merely happens to be red with a blue and white cross. It has long been flown beside the American flag over the boutique hospital's front steps. The AP reports the couple, obviously of Norwegian heritage, have two black children, which they previously adopted. Yet the whole flag kerfluffle has resulted in repeated accusations that they are racists. And I didn't play this one a while back, but it is just absolutely nutso and shows really kind of, I don't know, how far we've fallen when this is what our kids are doing. This was actually something from before July 4th. I had it in my notes for Lunacy of the Week and just didn't get to it. These are some little girls. I guess they're some online influencers. Get your kids off social media immediately. They had something to say about July 4th. They've got better ideas than the old red, white, and blue.
During Pride Month for many obvious reasons, and America sucks right now. And honestly, if you support it and choose to wear red, white, and blue,
you're
and
supporting
be patriotic,
Trump, racism, literally
you're
everything.
Supporting all of that, and it's disgusting, and you shouldn't. So don't wear red, white, and blue on 4th of July. Wear rainbow.
Yes. We want this. Everyone to wear it. We don't want to see red, white, and blue posts. Like, yes. I don't want to see those Independence Day captions. I don't.
Caption your posts, hashtag all countries matter on 4th of July.
Yes.
I want to see, I want to see
rainbow flags on
seeing everyone wearing rainbows and captions with hashtag all countries matter. That's what I want to see.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. That's just a fantastic idea. That's totes adorable. God, can I get to this last one? I may have to synopsize it. A girlfriend who was a vegan convinced her boyfriend to become a vegan. So he did. You know, we do things for chicks when we're young. Then she got really incensed because she wanted him to get rid of his cat, a cat that he loved. She said that it was because the cat was a carnivore. The cat had to go. And I don't have time to get down into the quote, but she essentially said, is that the kind of example you want to set your meat-eating cat? Luckily, this soy boy who was convinced to become a vegan because of this troll did choose the cat over the woman. And it certainly is a cautionary tale to anybody who dates a radical leftist woman. That's all the time I got today. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard.